I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 428, Overlord.
Yeah.
Joe's very excited.
I for the second I saw this preview, I was like, sign, yep. Yep.
Well, yeah, this movie was kind of made in a lab for you.
It really was. Yeah. Can we get Kurt Russell? No, he's too old. Can we get his son? Absolutely. And they did.
Yes, they did. So before we dig in too much, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And returning,
John.
Hi, John.
Hello.
So, real quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes and now Spotify.
Woohoo!
You can't review us on Spotify, but you can on iTunes, and that'd be helpful. And check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/realspoilers while you're there. Join the League of Show Sharers. And, of course, our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers. So there, all that's been taken care of. Overlord.
Go. So if you've ever wanted to see a rated R version of Captain America with fighting zombies, this is it. I don't know what I like. That's the more I'm watching, I'm like, this is just a Captain America movie. It opens up using like an old timey font, like for the Overlord trait, like the title card, like rolls out.
I loved the title card with the you know, the year and the logo, the Paramount really small at the bottom,
and then like the Roman numerals.
I love the style of that because it started off with the planes in there. It looked like war footage.
It did.
I'm like, that's a really cool.
And I gotta
look.
Tell you. It's a hell of a good looking movie.
It's a good looking movie.
Yeah, for what they paid for it.
Yeah.
So
it's
you've
on
got,
the screen.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a J.J. Abrams production.
Right.
So, I mean,
right.
The guy has got some clout.
A little bit.
He puts some money into the movies. He knows how to, you know, oversee a project. I mean, geez, to think about, like, his next movie coming out is the
new Star Wars
movie. I mean, the guy has produced, what, probably 20 things in between? Like,
oh,
I mean,
sure.
He is super producer.
Yeah. So you were introduced to this cast of characters who are
straight out of Central Casting.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You got the guy from the Bronx, and you've got the black guy, and you have the,
you've
you
got
know,
the,
it's just like,
the,
and you're fighting Nazis, so you need the Nebuchadnezzar Jewish kid.
You
right.
got the
too. So.
Who surprisingly survives.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was going to turn into some weird thing later, but he's just like, no, he's fine.
He had his redemption. You know, he was kind of a jerk, but then he has his redemption moment at the end, and he thought he was going to get taken out.
Right.
But he just kind of gets
just
wounded.
Floats under the radar.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not that guy. The guy, so just this one scene where when Ed goes to rescue, he goes into the basement of the church and he finds the guy there with like the tube in his side.
Yeah.
Like that's the guy who's like, okay, so that's going to be the monster that they have to fight later. But no. He's fine.
No,
like he's
I was talking about the kind of jerky.
You're talking about the jerky New York guy.
Yeah, Bronx
the
guy.
Italian kid.
Yeah.
The Italian kid.
He's kind of a jerk and he had his moment, but he survived. He just got clipped.
Shot in the back. Yeah, there's no big deal.
Like shoulder or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're all on this plane and they're saying like, so we're what, 12 hours out from D-Day.
Right.
So there's a satellite on top of a church that they have to destroy.
A radio tower.
Yeah,
they were using satellites.
Not satellites, probably not. A radio that they have to destroy.
We're about 15 years away from launching
a satellite, let alone one that could do what they needed to do.
So they had to sneak in and steal the press credentials.
Correct. Yeah, do it like, you know, old school style. So they have to blow up this radio tower. Otherwise, the troops landing on the beach are not going to be able to get air support. I don't know why.
Yeah, I didn't really understand, technicalities.
They were jamming the radio transmissions.
Oh,
so the boats, our boats wouldn't have been able to talk to each other.
Got it. Okay, that makes more sense. I was just like, well, why do we need... Why does that matter?
Why is their dish matter for our... Okay.
Yeah.
So,
which is good because, I mean, in that movie, especially in that opening scene, you had 7,000 boats all in one square acre of ocean. So,
and
yeah.
I do like where the guy says that. He's like, why are they so close together? Like, they call their own stuff out, which I appreciate. Uh-huh. He's like, all it would take is like one big bomb and then that's it. They're just all scattered all over the place. So what was the... What's the sergeant's name? No, like his real name. Like that's an actor that I recognize.
Bokeem Woodbutt.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm like, the characters in this movie are like
Wyatt Russell.
The central casting. I mean, they're just, I don't know any of their names. They're just,
no.
You know, yeah. You've got each character that you need
in
place.
The New York guy, and yeah. You got not Kurt Russell. You got not John Boyega, not Kurt Russell, and that's
don't
really,
forget not Toby Jones.
Yeah,
not Toby Jones. Evil doctor.
Yeah. Right.
That's exactly what I thought of.
And,
I was also like, not David Bowie? He kind of had like that David Bowie.
And I was like, not Michael Shannon?
Yeah, the one
like
guy.
The head
yeah.
German
yeah.
guy?
Yeah. I was like, 10 years ago, that would have been Michael Shannon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, the deal, you know, they're going to drop and then they get blown up. So all of the ships, all of the planes are getting blown up and like four guys survive. They jump into the water. Your main character, Ed, is like... I feel like he's the nebbish one. Like he doesn't really want to be there, but he has to be there.
He's the moral, you know, character. He's the guy that everything is by the books and he's trying to save everyone and not kill everyone. You know, he's there for the morality.
Right. And then you've got Wyatt Russell, who's just like, nope, we're killing them all. that's just what we're doing.
I mean, they're also at war too. Like, I mean,
right.
I think this main character goes a little overboard with the morality because I get that he wants to try to help everyone, but also like these guys will just kill you on sight.
Yes.
So like the fact that he didn't want to even like injure anybody,
right.
I'm like,
like the fact that he doesn't kill anybody until his friend turns into a creepy mutant monster.
Yeah.
Then he steps up his
I'm
game.
Like, you're at war and these people are out there murdering people.
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I think they tried to like oversell the like Heart of Gold thing a little too much with that character. But
I would agree. If you can't kill a Nazi.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you, the president?
Yeah. Good guys on both sides. Good guys on both sides. You know?
Moving on with the plot.
Yes.
So they land and he's kind of on his own initially. He sees he's making his way through. And I will say they don't cheap on the gore. Like
they do not.
This is a gory movie. It is a action horror movie at its finest.
Rated R.
Yeah, and they deliver on the rated R. So he sees this his sergeant there and he's about ready to get up and go get him and then the corporal who is
I like
Kurt
how
Russell's
this movie
son.
Just from the get-go has no basis in reality,
none whatsoever,
right. Like it's like I
they just own it.
There's 1944, we got a black guy leading this troop.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna throw the BS flag.
I was gonna ask that too and then I was also like, well, that's kind of cool that they're not sticking to things, but I was like, I don't think that would have happened.
No, they would have been cooks.
Yeah.
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 I mean, they hadn't even integrated the troops yet, right?
No, not really. Like, a little bit. By that point, yeah, because, I mean, we needed everybody. But
right.
Yeah, there would not have been a sergeant.
Yeah, because I was surprised to see not only the main character, but I'm like, a sergeant is being black? So I'm like, that's not...
Right. I think of it as like Starship Troopers, which I just watched the other day, where it's... Like, there's no basis in reality, obviously. Besides the obvious.
You know they're fighting
giant
bugs, right?
Right.
And
I mean, like, on the field, they're just like, he's dead, you're sergeant. He's dead, you're sergeant. He's dead, you're sergeant.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I took that as.
But I also like that in this movie, they're fighting Nazi zombies. So it's like, we don't need to stick
right.
to those type of things. And the actors...
No, I think it was smart, because they're like, if we're going to make a movie about Nazi zombies, you can't stand there and go, well, it needs to be all white people for historical accuracy.
Right.
He's like, you've kind of lost that battle.
Exactly.
Once you add zombies,
right?
Game over.
So it didn't matter. And I mean, my only complaint is that the actor that plays the sergeant is good. I was sad
he's
to
a great,
see him
he's
so
a very good actor.
Leave so soon. You know,
he's
good.
And then he does not last long.
But he did remind me of Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
What was that all about? Because it's funny because off air, John mentioned something. And I'm like, okay, I'm not the only, I didn't know if I could say that, but I'm like, he just, but not the look, but just the way he acted. I'm like,
I didn't get it at all.
Facial expressions, everything, the way he carried himself.
I feel like he acts like that and everything I see him in, so I didn't even pick up on the Dave Chappelle thing.
I don't know, but so at least I'm not alone
there.
I'm like, I don't know why.
Like I said, this movie is they wanted certain people and Beverly couldn't get certain people, so they got people that looked like people. So they I don't know what Wyatt Russell shows up, but he kind of says, you know, keeps the Ed, the main character, like into the ground. He's like, we got to save him. He was like, there's five of them and two of us. What are we going to do? He's like, I've seen you hold that rifle. You can't do that for anything. So
do you think that people in the, I know that they play this up for comedic effect and to be entertaining, but these people are out there risking their lives for one another. I think of them as being, you know, brothers at arms, and like, I don't know, the way that they were really mean to one another when they're supposed to be saving each other's lives.
But they're not. Absolutely. Well, yeah. First off, I think Boyce, which is an awful character
for his
a
name.
Black guy.
Oh, sure.
Every time they were like, hey, Boyce. Like, and I'm like, that's his name. Yeah. Okay. Like that, like pick, like Carter. How about that?
Anything else.
Parker. Yeah. I don't care. But yeah. But I think that like, I think, yeah. Well, first off, he's supposed to be new, right?
He's brand
new. He's brand new.
He's right out
of
boot
camp. Going to give him, you know, a ration of it. But I also think that, like, yeah, you got a group of guys that are all, what, 18, 19, 20 years old.
Right.
They're already hopped up on testosterone, and now you put guns in their hands and say, go kill people. Absolutely, they're going to be giving each other crap.
And also, I don't think this is a tight unit.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think they know each other because I feel like on the plane, they're all still kind of in, they all like introduce each other to them, to each other. We're like, he's the photographer and he's the Nebus Jewish guy. And
right.
He's the guy from New York. And there's the rookie and the corporal that nobody talks to. You know, like, so like
maybe
they
it's because this unit isn't as tight as other ones. I just thought like they're going to land and they've got to have each other's backs. And so I'm not talking about just a little ribbing, but like these guys were mean to one another. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, geez.
Well, you know what it is? Tom, you mentioned this being everybody's out of central casting. I mean, this is every trope you could possibly imagine. And, you know, a few years ago when they did Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, this one, I thought while I was watching it, I'm thinking, this is Biloxi Blues and Zombies. You know, it's the same.
That's very good.
Five or six guys. Yeah. And go, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Now I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's 52 dirt sexual positions. It's on a deck of dirty cards.
Right. Right. That's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Great movie.
Yeah.
So this is where we get like the moral compass where he's like, why didn't we save him? And Wyatt Russell's just like, what are you, stupid? Like we got,
we'd all be dead.
We'd all be dead. We got a job to do. We've got guys that are coming in.
Well, and he sees big picture. They're there to help D-Day. So saving one guy could cost you tens of
and
thousands.
He kind of says that. He's like, you're not going to risk. You're not. You know, he would want us to let him die. Yeah. Basically,
yeah. Like I don't think Wyatt Russell's character is the bad guy at all.
He's
like,
not the bad guy.
I feel like there's a period of time where you're not sure
when he starts laying into the German guy.
But
at the same time, you're like, I need that information. We're in crunch time, and I'm going to beat the bejesus out of you until I get it.
But are they going to tell you the truth?
That's the question.
That's, you know, like...
Is that the chance to take, though?
Yeah.
You know, like...
Remember what you said about reality a second ago?
Right, yeah.
I don't know. Like, in a situation like that, though, like, if you...
He'll tell you anything he knows he'll tell you anything from a diddly-eyed Joe to a damn if I know.
So we get... We run into New York guy and then the Jewish guy. So we meet up with and the photographer, like those who I think the photographer is on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think he's British.
Okay.
So he only takes pictures of animals?
Correct.
That's why he's a photographer?
That's a photographer.
Right.
That's how I say it. Shut up.
See?
Photographer.
A group of guys can be mean to each other and still get along.
So they all kind of team, and I do like that the photographer is just kind of like, what do you mean I have to fight? I'm like, oh, no, this isn't what I signed up for. So they run it. They see this girl in the woods, and then, of course, they think she's a German.
She's from a Stephen Sondheim musical.
She's going to rat him out.
He's going to be home before dark.
So they catch up to her.
He laughs at that joke like he's seen Into the Woods.
Didn't I see Into the Woods?
No, I think you skipped it, didn't you?
No, I saw a screener because I was like, oh, this is a freaking musical?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, did you actually? Well, I thought that was one of those where you're like,
no,
I'm not doing that.
On it. Yeah. Look. I am dedicated to the show, Kevin. I'll bite the bullet if I think
I just heard Joe and musical together, and I'm like, wait a minute. Those two things.
No, I did. I saw that one.
Don't feed him after midnight. Don't get water on him, and don't show him musicals.
No, that was the one where I sat down. I was actually looking forward to seeing it, and then I sat down.
Oh, it's
and
bad.
Emily Blunt starts singing. I was like, son of a bitch.
It's a great show to see live. Into the Woods is a fantastic play. That movie is a snooze fest.
Yeah, there's an episode really on it somewhere in the backlog somewhere.
Not good.
That's in the
there's actually a there's a PBS telecast of the actual play.
Oh, really?
That's what you should see.
Yeah, go watch
that. If you ever want to watch Into the Woods, you want to watch that.
Yeah,
that's
the movie
good.
Adaptation.
I can't
just
shake
does not
my
work.
Head hard enough. So, so they end up getting into this town. Like, they capture this girl. All of a sudden, boys can speak French.
Well, because his parents were Haitian.
Oh, that's right. They do say that. Yeah. He says that his grandmother.
As soon as he started speaking French, I was like, this dude better be Haitian. Yeah. Because I don't think there's a lot of French speaking black people in 1944.
That was smart writing, the way they explained it. And she says, your French sounds different than mine. And
he's like, my grandmother was from Haiti.
My mom owned a business, and she had a girl that worked for her that was married to a black guy from Haiti, and he made a ton of money because he was fluent in French. And so, like, he would manage these call centers and stuff. He would make so much money just because he was fluent in French.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah, so the girl kind of says, do you live in the village? She says, yes. They take her to the house. Like, the Germans are all over this village. And immediately, as soon as they go into the house, you can hear, like, the aunt, and she's like, she's sick. I was like, this is going to turn out to be something later.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, the noise that Ant is making is not normal.
And she's up in the Ant attic, which
the second
makes her,
floor. So that
makes her Aunt Frank.
Yeah, it's the, okay.
It's the thing. Sitting on that one all
I
show.
Have. As soon as I saw the movie, I'm like, hang on, let me make a note in my phone. I've got a really offensive joke.
She's on the ground level, though.
No, she's on the second level.
She was upstairs.
Oh, she was upstairs.
The Americans were in the attic.
Okay, yeah, she's I'm like, I know she wasn't level. In the attic. I thought she was on the entry. Okay,
right.
Ruin my joke.
Yeah,
I do like her brother Paul, like the French girl's brother Paul, where he's just like he speaks no English, which is fine. Like he's French, but like he keeps looking at the Americans with a baseball, and they're all just like, "What?
He just wants to play
what
baseball.
Do you want?" Yeah. She's like, "You're American. He thinks you all play baseball." He's like, "Well, we don't.
That's an offensive stereotype."
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Don't you put your stereotypes on me? Yeah. So we gear all of our main characters are back together, and they realize we have to do recon. We have to figure out what the hell's going on. So while they're trying to figure out they send
Christoph Waltz from Glorious Bastards comes in.
Well, they've already sent the photographer, photographer, and
photographer
and the Italian kid out on recon. Like, go see how many soldiers are out there. And
Sergeant
I do think
Butt-Eyes.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry about that. So my sister sends me a text, and she was like, I have to tell you this. Somebody walked up to me today and said, "What's up, ass cubes?" And I just started laughing. And I was
that's
like,
pretty good.
I've never heard that.
That's pretty good.
In my 36 years on this planet, nobody has ever hit me with ass cubes in my life.
That's
and
good.
She was like, I texted Alyssa, who's our cousin, and Sarah, who's our other cousin.
No one.
None of us had ever heard it. And
kudos.
I was like, well done.
Yeah.
Well done. Good job.
At least, I mean, you have to think. Like, it's an easy one to say, but I.
Yeah.
But to
come back
to really
with
put
ass
some
cubes.
Thought when
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, so they're gone. Now, Christoph, not Michael Shannon shows up. Of course, like, what's the worst thing we could do? We'll make him a Nazi. What else can we do? He's going to rape this girl.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, and we're going to show you that he is a despicable human being. So the moral, Boyce is constantly going to go. And again, Wyatt Russell's like, shut up.
Yeah, he's just so annoying. And the thing is, I get that they're trying to do this morality thing with him, but he just keeps making these impulsive, stupid decisions. And that's why I'm like, Wyatt Russell's right. He's like, we have to, stick to the mission. You're going to get us all either discovered or killed.
Right.
And so this main character got very annoying.
Yes. And I mean, he does have a redemption, but at the same time, it's just like, you were kind of ultra.
I feel like they put
American
him in there on
flag.
Purpose because, they're like, we need to have someone to go against anything that might be questionable in this movie. And so he is your moral compass for anything, even if it might be the right decision in the moment. And so, he just got very wearing.
Yeah. So finally, I guess when the creepy Nazi German, I guess that's an oxymoron. not at this point. Probably not. Starts to go down on this girl. He shows up and puts a gun to the back of his head. And then, of course, Wyatt Russell has to. He's like, well, I guess I gotta do this now too. Great. And beats the crap out of the German guy. They string him up and he's like, you've compromised this entire mission. Go get the other two. We got to get back here and regroup and figure out what we're going to do. So the Jewish guy and, oh, I'm sorry. The Jewish guy, we never see him until It's the photographer and...
And Bronx.
And Bronx, yeah, whatever his name is.
New York guy.
I think they do a great head fake with some of these characters in that, like, they have the guy that's, like, the writer that's writing a book.
Yeah, right.
Where
I
you're
forgot
like,
about
okay,
that guy.
Well, this guy's going to make it to the end because he's the one who tells the story. Oh, no. Okay,
yeah, right.
Fair enough.
That
and then
really
you're like,
good.
Oh, it's going to be the photographer who makes it to the end, and he's the one who tells... Oh, never mind. Yeah. Like, I was like, okay.
I did like that moment where they're walking in that minefield, and he's talking about his book, and hey, do you want to write it with me or use your photos for
right,
my book?
Right,
and I figure you can get half
they
of them.
They were just like, yeah, let's
yeah,
do
yeah,
it.
Boom.
Yeah.
That was a
I do
really
like
good.
Where Boyce is like, first he was here, and then he wasn't. And I was like, yeah, because he was just goop at that. Like, so, yeah, so the photographer and the Bronx are off on their own. Wyatt Russell sends Boyce. He's like, you got to go get him. We got to reconnoiter here and figure out what the hell we're going to do with this guy.
What was that word?
Reconnoiter.
I've never heard of that.
It's in the dictionary next to photographer.
Okay.
Photographer. Or photo.
Or photographer.
Photographer. Yeah. It's a word.
I've just never heard of it. Is that like reconvening?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard of reconnoiter.
I don't know.
Yeah, add it to my journal.
Well,
new word today.
Can you connoiter the first time?
Yeah,
I mean,
if
that's
you
the
reconnoiter.
Question, right? Yeah,
well, I don't. I have no idea. Yeah. Is it? Tom's looking it up.
I am.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
I've heard it, but make a military observation of a region.
Hey.
They reconnoitered the beach some weeks before the landing.
That's what they were doing.
But that means then you can't connoiter,
right?
I'm a little depressed.
Yeah. But are you pressed?
So I'm going to connoiter later. Yeah,
right. It's canoodle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right.
So
get a room, you two.
So while Boyce is kind of running through the city, I guess it's a very small town. And I will say, like, I have to believe this is a set they built. I don't think that they are.
This is one of the things that impressed me was there were practical sets. That town has to be on a soundstage.
Has to be.
Obviously, there's background stuff that's CG and everything. But when they're walking past the buildings, I'm like, wow, those destroyed buildings. Like, they built those. And they looked really good.
It did look really
especially
good.
Especially on a $50 million budget. That's the impressive part.
38.
Oh, sorry, 38. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, that's more impressive for sure. I was not expecting to see. I was expecting to see more of what we saw in the first scene, dropping out of the plane.
Right.
It was okay, but it was
looked
very
like a
green
screen. It looked very video gamey.
Yeah.
Which...
So what I wish they did, and especially because they set you up with action and there's a really long time without any action, I really wish all they did was the plane explodes, cut to black, and then he wakes up. Because then you wouldn't have gotten an action set piece where you're like, okay, more action. You know, they wouldn't have tricked you, and you wouldn't have had to see that CG video gamey type thing.
There are this movie could definitely use with some cuts.
Yeah,
it's a little bit too long.
Between the movie starts about an hour in, like once they finally get into where he gets in and finds what's going on, I found it to get very long. And again, I think setting up with that action in the beginning, it kind of tricked you into thinking this movie is going to be crazy,
right?
You know, from the get, zombies, Nazis, guns, boom, let's go. And it really takes a slow down until act three.
Yeah, I think they should have more dusk till dawn did.
Yeah,
I agree.
And like let it be the first half be a war movie, mm-hmm.
second half zombie
and then
movie.
Just like a hard stop and like, oh wait, no, we're in a zombie movie.
I'll
now.
Never forget
like,
the first time I saw that movie.
Yeah,
and when she turns,
yes,
and you're just like,
it's out of
whoa,
nowhere.
What are we doing?
And I agree, because here they kind of cut back and forth and give you these hints of what's going on,
right?
See, so I know that nowadays with social media and marketing you can't do this, but see, I think if this movie was sold as a war movie and you were in the theater and all of a sudden there's Nazi
like,
zombies, this movie would have been 10 times better. You would have gone, oh my god, what is happening?
Yeah, right,
because
right.
It's so slow, but the problem is you know there's Nazi zombies,
right?
So you're waiting for an hour or 45 minutes to see them fighting Nazi zombies.
Right. You really only see them fight one.
Yeah, and so it gets pretty boring, whereas...
Well, they made them so strong, they kind of have to.
Yeah, that's
if there were very many, there's no way they could have killed them.
And
right?
I think the $38 million budget also speaks to why it's so slow, because it's like they had the big... whatever scene in the beginning, and then the third act goes crazy and they're like, well, we don't have budget for we gotta have them talk in a house for an hour. So that's the thing. If you didn't know there were Nazi zombies, this movie would have worked, because it would have been like, what the hell, this is crazy,
right?
But knowing it, it's like, where are they?
Like, they almost should have went the other direction, and instead of making a $38 million movie, they should have made it a $20 million movie.
Yeah,
so they could have afforded to kind
more zombies.
Made it cheaper, so they could have afforded to
not have to sell
to
it
withhold,
like it's,
to
yes.
not have to sell it as a Nazi.
Got it. Less budget means that you don't have to recoup as much, and so you can kind of, you know, string people along. And but it would have been an awesome head fake if you would have seen a, if you thought this was a World War II movie proper, and a zombie busts out, and all of a sudden then it's balls to the wall for the rest of the movie.
Right.
Your mind would be blown.
I swear. I remember watching that like HBO. I was like, From Dusk Till
Dawn.
Yeah,
when I was a kid, I watched it on VHS.
I'll give it a watch.
And they go to the bar, right? It's all
so
of a
they
sudden,
get, it's not even that. So they're at the bar. Everything's going fine. Right. They've gotten over. They're just waiting. And then
you're like the movie's over. Right. You're like, you've resolved everything.
We've got an hour left.
Yeah.
And you're waiting for a fight to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of get that vibe where it's like, okay, somebody's going to start taking a swing at somebody. And
right.
then
all
Selma, of a sudden there's
fangs
or something.
No, right? Selma Hayek is dancing.
Yep.
And she's dancing on Tarantino. And then all of a sudden, she bites Tarantino. Yeah. And like, even look on Clooney's face where he's just like, whoa, what happened? And then she turns into like a vampire. And it's like, and then the hookers turn into vampires and the bartenders turn into vampires.
And the band's
just,
instruments
turn into bodies.
Oh,
yeah.
It's great.
Like, it's, and then it's, and then like your main characters are, it's like Harvey Keitel and Jim Brown.
Yeah. I mean, don't they
Tom
take
Savini.
Out Clooney?
No,
they don't. Or do they take out Tarantino?
They take out Tarantino.
Okay, I was like, one of them dies. Yeah. I remember pretty early.
But
on.
They kill everybody. Yeah. Spoilers: everybody dies except for Juliette Lewis and
her feet.
Yeah,
apparently. Yeah.
My favorite line in that movie is at the end when they get out and Cheech Marin shows up and he was like, you know, they're getting in the car and Clooney's like, "Do you have any idea what that place was?" And he was like, "I don't know, man. What were they? A bunch of psychos?" He was like, psychos? Do psychos explode when sunlight hits them? And he's like, I don't know. It's a great movie.
Is he the bartender in that? He is
he's
in Desperado,
the,
right?
So he's the,
he's
do,
like the,
he's
the
doorman.
The,
okay.
The and then
I might be thinking of Desperado. He's the bartender, right?
Yeah.
That like spits in a cup and is
oh,
watching
maybe.
It.
So he's the doorman. He's the border patrol agent. Mm. And then he's the guy at the end.
Nice.
Yeah. So back to this movie.
Yeah.
So... Boyce is kind of running around town and he's trying
he
to figure
by
out
a dog, right?
Yeah, he's like right by the gates to get it underneath the church.
What do they find in the minefield? Was it a dog? One of these crazy dogs?
I would assume it's
but
a dog.
But the skull looks like a dog, right?
Yeah.
Because the first thing they stumble upon, and see, this is one of the hints where it's like things are crazy, and obviously from advertising we know what we're getting into.
Right.
But they stumble upon this weird pile of mush and an eyeball and then a skull that looks like a weird wolf dog.
Keeps calling it a jackal.
Yeah, and so he... When he's out trying to get to the other guys, one of these things stumbles upon
him. Chases a dog.
And
chases
him, and he's able to run onto
a truck
of dead bodies, I guess, that they're bringing in for experiments.
Right. And he sees, while he's standing and, like, looking down on the this driveway, basically, he sees them, like, taking bodies out that are walking, and then they set them on fire. So then he gets chased by the dog, gets in the back of the truck with a bunch of dead bodies, hides among the dead bodies, and accidentally gets into the facility proper. Like, he gets in, and in, this is where he finds his buddy. We realize that, like, this is the very creepy, like, gooey scene where he sees, like, people in bags, and he, like, unzips the bag, and it's almost like a birth where, like, the guy's head pops out. And he pulls the mask off. He's like, get me out of here. He's like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
No mas.
This is where, to me, like, the movie starts. I'm like, okay, now we're into what I was expecting.
Right.
Again, it's those expectations where it's like, when they sell this in the trailer, it is like nonstop insanity.
Yeah. And did you ever see, there was a Swedish flick where, what the hell, Red Snow? Not Red Dawn. But like, it's a Swedish flick where this
not let me in. Or
no,
let
no,
Red
no,
Red
no. It's a Nazi zombie movie.
Oh, okay.
Where these people are like they're on like a cabin trip. They're camping in a cabin.
Lots of snow.
Is it like dead snow?
Yeah.
Where it's basically the same. Where they accidentally stumble upon, like there's a Nazi zombie facility that was like covered in ice.
Okay.
And then accidentally opens up on these kids.
This global warming, man.
I'm telling you, this is what happens.
The only Swedish movies I've seen have Seika in them.
It's a good movie. Dead Snow is it's a fun movie.
Is that the one where Max von Sydow plays chess?
That's it.
Yeah.
So he gets in and he sees that there's something else going on in this facility. He grabs one of the syringes with this goop in it, not the Gwyneth Paltrow website.
Oh, I would say not the hand cleaning.
No, not that either.
I'm like, when you find a huge syringe of questionable material, I'm going to put it in my pocket and then run around
Here's the thing. Who are you, my ex-wife?
and he doesn't take the needle off.
Just shoves the whole thing.
I could not believe it. I mean, this needle is like a horse tranquilizer. I mean, it's huge. And he just puts it in his pocket. I'm like, there's no way you would not stab yourself with that.
No, he absolutely would have stabbed himself.
So I just thought, I'm like, okay, whatever.
He sees his buddy on this table, and he's like, get me out of here. And he's got, like, this weird thing attached to his side, like this giant, like, suction cup with a syringe attached to his side. So he pulls that out, gets his buddy out, but this grabs the syringe. But while all of this is going on, Bronx and the photographer have showed back up at the house, and they're just like, I guarantee you he got caught. There's no doubt in my mind that he has been caught. So they take the hood off the German, and then this is where Wyatt Russell's like, you're going to tell me what you know, because I've got 6 hours before these guys storm the beach. And he's just like, no, I don't think so. So he puts on
string
like,
him up.
Yeah. Well, no, he lays into him a little bit. Like, he puts on like the.
See, I think the mistake here from a writing standpoint was, if you want to extract information out of the guy, you don't beat him up. You go grab that syringe.
Yep.
Right. And he knows. Stick him with it.
Yeah.
But they don't have this stuff.
They do have the syringe at this point.
How?
Because he shows
Boyce
up.
Boyce shows back up.
Because, I mean, the whole time I'm thinking like, oh, they're going to be like, we're going to turn you into one.
Yeah. Right.
And that's how they're going to crack him.
Right.
And
whatever this is, we're going to give it to you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. Since he has the syringe, I'm like, oh, he's going to threaten him with this now. Yeah.
No, he just lays into him. And here's what I will say. I said it on Real Spoilers. Wyatt Russell is your MCU Wolverine. His dad should have played him in the 80s, because they're like,
they wanted
not...
Danny DeVito.
Oh God,
they did. That was would a real time for a
very little short guy. Yeah.
But I mean, look at Kurt Russell. Like, he's not tall. He's probably what, 5'7", 5'8".
That's not tall.
No, Tom.
Damn it!
Damn it!
How tall are you, Tom?
5'7" or 5'8".
I wish I was 5'8". Like a Shetland person.
But yeah, like. Kurt Russell in 1987 is Wolverine.
Yeah.
That picture you shared, I mean, that's spot on.
Yeah. Like, there's a picture that I shared on the Real Spoilers thing where he's got long, granted, he's blonde, easily fixable.
Whatever, yeah.
CGI.
Yeah, totally CGI. And he's got, like, the, not the Hulk Hogan mustache, but, like, the beard without the bottom part.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, he's like got the mustache, the chops.
The reverse soul.
Yeah, so there's nothing in the middle. And it's
reversal pass.
That's kind of what it is. I don't know how else to describe it.
I feel like that would be a whole beard too, though, because
it is a whole beard. He's got like the whole.
It's the whole thing. I was thinking just the mustache, the biker square.
That's the Hulk Hogan.
Oh, okay, got it.
This is like the chops. Because
he has to have the Wolverine sideburns,
but nothing in the chin.
Got it. Okay, the reverse soul patch.
The reverse soul patch.
I like it.
Tom, look up what it's actually called. But yeah, he looks just. And then when you get later in this movie, you're like, I could absolutely see this guy. And he's young enough, like he's young enough that you could sign him to a contract where you get like 10 movies out of him.
All
maybe.
Right, calm down over there.
Sorry.
Good casting.
Yeah, thank you. Boy shows up and he's like, look, I got in. And everybody's like, to where? What do you mean you got in? How did you get in? He's like, I just jumped in the back of a truck and I found all this stuff. And they're doing some awful things in this. The basement of this church.
Because he really doesn't know at this point. I mean, he knows what's going on in there is weird, but he hasn't put it together what's really happening.
Exactly. He sees he's peeking into like one of those peepholes, and he sees the thing that we will see later, which is like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like it was like a body with no skin. I don't know. I mean,
it's a zombie. It's a crazy zombie monster.
It looks like a mix of the 28 Days Later zombie with the Will Smith vampires.
I can see that. Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, basically what they're doing is they're taking dead bodies and they're
reanimating them.
Yeah, they're reanimating them and these experiments. And so he sees, someone get injected and then start freaking out on this chair. But that's really all
I do. Like, I also appreciate that, like, there have always been rumors that Hitler was, like, into magic and dark arts and like was trying to get something like this. Like, it's always been kind of,
oh, that's interesting. This is based on actual rumors of
I mean, Raiders of the Lost Ark,
right?
That's what I mean, that's what that's about, right? Like, they're looking for biblical devices that are, you know,
to give them the edge.
Give them the edge.
But yeah, yeah. Like Hitler, the rumor always has been that Hitler was like into some stuff and not just poop stuff.
Scheiße porn.
Scheiße. But yeah, like, so like I always kind of dig like the Rob Zombie, like short, like this Rob Zombie trailer, like Werewolf Women of the SS. Mm-hmm. Like I always, that stuff is hilarious to me because it's
from
so
Grindhouse.
Much, right? Yeah. It was like one of the fake trailers that was going to be a movie that never got made into it because Grindhouse failed. So yeah, so they go and they start to, the German general they have is not giving up any information. And finally he's just like, string him up. And I do like the Bronx is like, cool, let's do it. And then, but like Boyce is kind of on the fence. He's like, I think this is a bad idea. And he's like, shut up. Like, like I have to do what I have to do here. But, and then he starts laying into him. And I do like where he kind of says, this is a war. Like, what does he say?
Like, I'm going to win this.
This is the one I'm going to win. Yeah. And just starts, he puts on like a pair of brass knucks. And I also feel like, don't hit him in the face. What do you hit him in the face for? Like, then he can't talk. Go for the body.
Torture expert Joe here.
Well, yeah, that's... I've got some stuff.
So the only thing that I didn't like about this...
Things you want to hear a police officer say.
This quote-unquote information they were getting, I feel like the only information they got was how many people were inside the building. That there were 40 people. Like, I feel like...
But I think that's an important piece of information. You got to know how many people you're going to go kill.
Right.
Yeah, what you're up against. I was just like, you know that this building is like a base and there's a lot of people. Now, I just... you're on the clock and you're going to beat this guy up and hope that he tells you this number of people. I don't know. To me, it wasn't as significant as like, where is the whatever located to get in and get to the...
Or
you know,
what are they doing?
Yeah, I was looking
for
a secret.
They don't need the how to get in because Boyce already knows how to get in.
Well, yeah. Then what are the?
They need to know where the control.
Got out, so.
Right. They need to know the control station. Yeah. They need to know how many people.
I just remember him saying like 40 people in there. Okay, let's go. And I'm like, oh, that was what he was expecting.
Well, no,
because
then he goes, "What is this?" And he was just like, it's science."
Oh yeah.
And they were just like, "What?"
But he never tells them until they
never
see what
them.
Happens.
Right.
And then he's like, "You wanted to know?
Yeah. Now you can find out."
But I guess so. The main thing is that they need to take out this dish, this blocking device, and so they're debating whether or not to go in or to get it from the outside. So once they find out there's 40 people, Wyatt is like, we have to take it from the outside because we can't.
Right. And
five
then,
us can't
and then
go against.
Their Boyce is just like, we have to get those people out of there. Mm. Like there's people in there. We have to get them out. So there's the discussion of what to do with those people. Finally, I guess they decide we got it. So it's the next morning and we are dangerously close to, no, I guess it's still at night, where that we are dangerously close to...
They've got a hard stop of 6 a.m.
Yeah, because like they're going to dock at 6 a.m. And then that's... And of course, we know how that turns out. And I also appreciate that this is a, like it's kind of like Rogue One.
Like, you know they're going to pull it off.
Right. We know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's like this is the story behind the story.
Rogue One turning into a TV show, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Disney Plus,
a prequel show.
Cassian.
But it's...
Rogue Zero.
It's going to be
that
a
really
prequel to Rogue One.
No, yeah. I just made that up.
Well, they can't do a sequel with Cassian.
I guess that's true.
So
yeah.
It's a prequel. Yeah, it's going to be Cassian Andor, you know.
I saw that
Diego Luna is going to be the main character.
Oh, cool.
Of it. Yeah.
All right, nice.
And then Loki's getting a show with Tom Hiddleston. Those are the two announcements.
Well, you thought Bucky was rough. Dago? I mean,
yeah. I'll allow it. It's fine. Yeah. I'm on the show.
Yeah. He can use the D word. Also, back to facial hair. Those could be referred to as side whiskers, although those typically tend to hang lower.
Okay.
You could also refer to them as friendly mutton chops.
That, like, so the mustache to the chops is
mutton
called
chops
friendly
are
mutton
connect,
chops?
Mutton chops, which are connected by a mustache, but no chin hair, which would make it a full beard, are friendly mutton chops.
Wow. That? See, I would have thought maybe like a Hulk Hogan Buddy Repperton.
Yeah.
You know, just a
the Hulk Buddy.
Yeah, there you go.
And the Hulk Hogan is just called
the Fu Manchu.
A horseshoe mustache.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. What's there a Fu Manchu?
This is not on this list.
Oh.
I don't believe. I didn't see it.
Okay. So this is.
And I love the fact that the toothbrush mustache.
Oh, the Hitler?
Uses a picture of Chaplin. You know,
Hitler.
You know the people at like Whiskerpedia or whatever this is on were like, thank God for Chaplin.
Yeah, right.
What other? Yeah. Like, there's really no other. I mean, Hitler really ruined
that. He kind of ruined that.
He ruined that mustache for everybody.
Dude, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
well, yeah, has been rocking that longer than he should have.
Yeah.
Like still has it, I think, to this day.
The Foo, I think, is the same thing, except instead of being attached all the way down, that's just hanging.
It's like, long. It comes down long.
Oh, okay.
Fu Manchu is like the old...
like the Pai Mei.
Yeah.
Kill Bill Volume 2.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, so all of our characters are back in the house. They decide they're gonna go one way or the other.
They go send Nebish to go get... They send the meekest guy to go get whatever we're calling not the commander. Who is this guy? Not
Wyatt?
No.
Oh, not Michael Shannon.
Not Michael Shannon.
No, it's the photographer.
Oh, it's the
photographer.
These guys are...
They look a lot alike.
This is almost like Dunkirk to me. They are just placeholders. Yeah.
They're just like, oh, the guy looks like Kurt Russell and the black guy.
Yeah,
everybody else is
kind of
like...
The photographer, the Nebish guy, the Brooke.
You're not busting his balls?
For what?
Photographer.
Was he played by Josh Brolin?
Yeah. But
Good old Josh Brolin.
I don't remember.
Is he related to Irving?
I don't remember ever saying photographer. I've never said it like that.
You just did.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. The photographer.
The photographer.
It's contagious.
Yeah, it must be. I've never said that in my life. So I was just making fun of Joe. So they all kind of look the same, and so I don't know. But they send someone really meek.
I was glad they were largely white, because I couldn't tell a lot of them apart. And I'm like, at least I don't have to feel bad about
myself. There was I mean, obviously, you can tell Wyatt Russell from everybody else.
Yes.
You can tell Boyce from everybody else. And then
Bronx, you can tell because he taught. But the other two guys are interchangeable, because I'm like, is the photographer dead? I'm like, because I didn't know which one was captured slash.
Right.
You know, I just didn't know. I like even the book writer guy. I don't know the guy that got blown up. I thought he was the photographer. Like it's just whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway,
they send the guy upstairs to unhook him.
And you're like,
take him.
This is obviously not going to be good when you go send.
This is going to end badly.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's like pushing on him. He's like, hey. And he doesn't move. And I will give the guy credit. Like, he played dead.
Yeah.
And, like, he hit that ground hard. Like,
he did?
That was, yes.
Cuts him down.
So he cuts him down. He hits the ground. And there's a fight ensues. And the kid, the photographer, gets shot in the chest. And then as he's getting shot in the chest, Wyatt Russell blows the German's face off with a bullet. Like, I mean, from, like, his nose to the side of his face.
He Harvey Dents him.
He basically does Harvey Dent him. Kids, look, Google that if you don't know who Harvey Dent is.
I
feel like with
imagine
the Dark
anyone,
Knight at this point.
Yeah,
I can't imagine anybody who listens to this show
true.
Doesn't know who
Harvey Dent
is.
That's true.
Yeah.
But somehow he survives. I was like, half of his face is gone. How does he survive?
Well, because they
didn't get him in the brain or anything.
He does that to himself when he goes back to the thing. But again, I got to tell you, Boyce is kind of the villain of this movie, where he stabs his friend with this juice.
Well, no, he's thinking
he does.
He's trying to reanimate him.
Yeah, he's going to bring him back to life.
And I did like this scene where the kid died. And they do a very good job. It's kind of like the scene in Saving Private Ryan where they kill Adam Goldberg, who was like the Nebish Jewish guy, where like he's fighting the guy in the tower and like they slowly plunge that knife.
Yep.
It was and that's a hard scene to watch. And
it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Where the Nazis going shh.
Yeah. Oh God, it was awful.
Yeah, oh,
so
Ernest.
Yeah.
Oh.
Remember the end when he saw it at Esquire? Yeah,
the sound was
why
so
they
bad.
Say Ernest?
Who's Ernest? What?
No, not Ernest.
I was like, yes, sequel.
Yeah. Ernest kills Nazis.
I went right to Ernest Goes to Camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
What?
Ernest Goes to Boot Camp.
Yeah.
Ernest joins the army, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
No buck privates.
You damn right.
I got you.
Don't you forget it.
So they plunge this kid and like he's laid,
dead for a while,
like nothing happens, and they're just like, okay. And then all of a sudden he sits up and everybody's like, whoa, shite.
This guy was a really good actor. Like, I like how he plays this with the breathing and the being thirsty and everything.
Yeah.
And
he crushes the canteen. He's like, you all right? He's like, yeah,
I feel
yeah,
great.
I feel great. And then all of a sudden he's not great.
Yeah. Man, this was, again, I mean, we're off to the races at this point. I love the movie from here on out.
Yeah.
And this practical effects with him and his bones sticking out of his back and his neck.
See, and I thought that was the callback to that thing they found in the woods, that was one of the early experiments where they were working with dogs or whatever.
Like imploding itself. And getting
Right.
Good but call. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
This was just, from here on out, there's a lot of gnarly stuff. But man, this looked really good as far as crazy horror special effects goes. It's creepy. I mean, he's like bending backwards. This is something
straight out. His neck like snaps backwards.
Yeah. If you've ever played the Resident Evil games.
This looks like The Thing. Okay. John Carpenter's The Thing is what this reminded me of.
That's true too. But I'm just thinking like they do a lot of creepy stuff with the zombies in the Resident Evil games. Right. And this movie largely plays like a video game from here on out. Yeah. You know? And so I'm thinking like, wow, they really captured that.
They did. And then so they fight off, you know, they fight this guy off. The German general gets away in the process
and steals the kid, right?
And steals the baby brother.
The kid as shield,
right? Yeah. And steals the baby brother. Boyce finds his inter badass and just smushes this kid's head.
Yeah,
not the baby brother, like
because they shoot him. I think in the head, and he's down.
They all shoot him,
and then he gets up. Right. So Boyce realizes you have to
go for the head.
Yeah,
which is interesting. Like, yeah, I guess they do kind of lay into the you gotta destroy the head or destroy the brain, because they are just shooting them in the chest and nothing happens.
Yep.
But like, I feel like it's a trope that they don't mention.
They never say it. It's
but
just,
I guess they all see
they
it happen.
Figure
and like,
it out.
Oh,
yeah.
Go for the head. Got it. So, and even at this point, I think Wyatt Russell's character kind of sees that this kid has not snapped, but gone over the edge.
Well,
a little
bit.
Because
at this point,
him back.
He tells him that he's not going to go destroy the dish because now they have to save the brother.
Right.
So and he's then, like, we're going inside. He gives him, Wyatt Russell gives him a direct order and he says no.
Right.
And he stands up to him. And so.
And then Bronx, he's like, you know, we just do it.
It's a bonus.
He's like, we're going in there anyway. We'll just get the brother.
Yeah.
And then I do like where, why, this is the scene where I was like, God, he looks just like Kurt Russell.
crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
What and are he, the odds?
Weird. Where he kind of smiles. And says, all right, fine. Like, we'll do it. We'll do both. So they should, like, they've got the guy they rescued. I cannot keep calling him. I guess he's the Jewish guy. And then the Bronx are like, he's like, what we need to do is we need to make them think, make the Nazis think that there are more of us than there are. So you guys go on top of this hill and just start taking the just. Unload these machine guns, and you know, I guess that Bronx is a sniper, which is, I mean, he's got all he has is his rifle, and he's just picking guys. He's like Barry Pepper, where he's just like, bam, bam.
Rosenfeld is the character name, if you'd like to refer to him.
I would
that.
Like to, I mean, sure. I thought he said
refer to him by his Christian.
Yeah.
Wait, no,
nope. So I thought he said in the beginning, I'm glad you said, okay, I thought he said his name was Roosevelt, and I do like the scene where he's like, I can't. So this, now that it's Rosenfeld, he's like, I can't go into Germany with the name Rosenfeld.
Yeah.
Like, you out of your mind. So they just start like they just start shooting all these people, all the Nazis. And while Boyce and Wyatt Russell like go in the drainage pipe and the girl, I guess this girl is
don't
here
forget
the whole,
now once
girl.
The brother's captured, the girl just starts picking up machine guns and flamethrowers. Like, she's this innocent French girl from this little village, and all of a sudden she's like, lock and load. Right.
She got an upgrade in the video game
she
sense.
Did yeah
right
yeah.
So they all go in, they go the way that, you know, through the drainage pipe and up through the thing. And Wyatt Russell, we should say that the German general has injected himself with this.
Not one, but two.
But two. And
Toby Jones.
Not Toby
is like,
Jones is like,
we've never tried it on a live subject. And he does it. And then he's like, oh, and another one.
Yeah. And I thought that,
in
like,
for a dime, in for a dollar.
In the trailer, I thought that this was Wyatt Russell. Like, I thought that this face thing was.
Yeah, I kept thinking Wyatt Russell was going to take a turn and get turned into. Yeah.
And that piece of it, I mean, if there was ever a time when you thought, okay, they're going completely over the top with every piece of this movie, when he injects himself and then turns to the camera and smiles.
Yeah.
The music. I mean, they do the
that
big
was
breast.
A weird
dun,
music.
Dun, dun.
Yeah.
Really?
That
was.
Oh, come
that
on.
Was the, I did think the same thing where I was like, weird music choice.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't.
I felt like the trailer was kind of a bait and switch in that. The trailer used anachronistic music.
They
right?
did.
It was like, it was AC/DC and,
right.
it was, and there was something else, but there was like classic
it
rock.
It was, what was that AC/DC?
It was Thunderstruck, right?
I don't think it was Thunderstruck. It was the other one.
Hell's Bells?
Hell's Bells. Yeah.
But there's another classic
Big Balls,
rock song.
Right?
They do have a song called Big Balls.
Yeah.
But they're invading Nazi Germany with five guys.
Here you go. The wrestler Balls Mahoney. That was his theme song.
There you go.
I thought that that would have been part of the film because it like that it because it's features so prominently in the trailer. Like that was kind of the hook of like everything about this is just completely crazy.
Battleship Sudom.
That's a great scene in Battleship.
I know Tom loves
that's
it.
A great scene, man.
Great scenes in bad movies.
Battleships shot him down. They're like, hey, sorry.
Can't do, or maybe a Knight's Tale sued him.
Did they use Hell's Bells?
No, they used anachronistic music.
Oh,
though.
Yes, they did. Yeah, they used Queen. And they used Queen. Yeah.
I think Connect 4 sued them because all the Hasbro games have licensed.
I thought it was
Thunderstruck.
Operation.
Yeah.
That's what it was, yeah. So yeah, so they get in, they split up, Wyatt Russell goes down to the control room and starts, laying out C4 and just, as he's putting in the time, he's like, we're going to give them 15 minutes because that'll give us enough time to blow this up before the troops hit the beach.
And we'll know when the chicken's done.
Correct.
Bong, bing.
So as he's putting in the timer, here comes crazy German guy. And crushes the timer, and it's why Russell doesn't stand a chance.
I'm glad they had multiple timers because when he beats him and puts a timer in, I was thinking like, wait, but he crushed that. Okay, they brought multiple.
But they do say at the house, he's like, I need C4, yeah. I need all the timers.
I'm glad they did that
this.
Though, and didn't just like have him crush it, and then somehow they just still had it.
So we've got so the German general takes Wyatt Russell and like puts him on a hook. And I was like, oh, that's gross.
His name's Waffner. It's probably too late, but...
Wyatt Russell?
No, the general guy.
Not Michael Shannon.
Yeah, if you want a name.
No, I don't.
Nah.
Okay. He's a German. He's a Nazi. What do I care? It's the reverse of what Wyatt Russell did to him, where instead of it being by his arms, he hangs him up by his rib cage.
And the meat hook to hang him by... That was
like,
another...
And he says, he's like, I don't have rope, but this'll do.
Oh.
And just...
There's some good stuff in here. I really enjoyed this latter half of it.
Yeah,
I just wish it would have picked up more because it's really good in this last.
Yeah, once it gets like the last 45.
The third act, half the third act is like it's
game on.
Yeah, it really is.
So we've got the kid, Boyce, and the girl are kind of running around this, I don't know what, lab, I guess. And they find the brother, but at the same time, not Toby Jones shows up and tries to. I do think it's funny that like, he's willing to die for this project. And then the Americans are just like, no, we're just going to blow your face off and you're dead. Get out of here.
Yeah.
And he kills that guy. So they get, everybody gets out. We've got, Wyatt Russell pull, like, this is a great scene where he's like trying to pull himself up,
off
the hook. And I feel like I've seen that before.
Terminator, maybe? Doesn't Terminator's on a hook?
Or is it Aliens? Does Bishop do that?
Think of it.
At the very end, does Bishop do that I don't know. But
can't
I feel
remember.
Like that's a scene where like he's the Lance Hendricks Bishop, where I feel like he's on a hook and he's trying to pull himself off the hook.
This was good, though, and you could sense the pain. I mean, he does a good job, too.
Yeah, and this is the most Kurt Russell he looks all movie, because like he sounds like him. He looks like he's got the growl, the Snake Plissken growl, like it's all there.
I'll tell you what, in the trailer, I swear this was Jason Clarke.
I'm
in this
right
movie.
There with you.
He looks like, when I only saw the trailer once, but when I saw it, I'm like, okay, Jason Clarke
is Clarke,
this.
Yeah.
And when you see him side by side, Jason Clarke's obviously a bit older, but not side by side. When you see this, it's like the kid looks just like him.
Looks just
I'm like
him.
Was he Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's milkman?
So this is Goldie Hawn's son too? Or is this Kurt Russell's?
I thought it was.
I assumed it was Goldie Hawn's because
they've been together
for so long.
And
I
guess that's not true. That old.
And Kate Hudson is not Kurt Russell's.
Correct.
Right.
That's why she's Kurt Russell.
But she is Kurt. I think she is now, though. I think he adopted her.
Her dad was Mark Hudson from the Hudson Brothers, right?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
But I think that she's like, he's been my dad forever.
I think there's a major falling out between
Is that right?
Her and her father. Okay. Biological father. I believe so, yeah.
I think that Kurt Russell's Santa Claus movie is on Netflix right now.
It's already out?
I think so. I thought I saw like
I
the card
so.
For
I,
it.
No, I,
it's
there,
not
it
right.
comes out on the 22nd. I saw this. Saw it yesterday.
It was just the card,
just a,
though,
yeah.
right?
Thing okay. saying it said November 22nd.
Kurt Russell's
that's
Santa
gonna
Claus.
Be
that's
something.
A real spoilers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's going to happen. Maybe. Maybe on Patreon.
Oh, great.
Wyatt Russell has just been, he gets himself off the hook. And he realizes I have got one shot at this. And he sees like a vial of the same stuff, hits himself with it, and just destroys the German soldier, the German general. I just love when he picks him up and just like throws him into the pit.
It's a pretty good fight because they're both superpowered.
Right.
I thought of like King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yep.
You know, it's the two
boss level characters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Just throwing each other around. It's a pretty good fight.
Right. And does he set him on fire first or does he throw him into the pit?
I don't remember, honestly.
Because he comes up back out of the pit, and yep. He's all gross.
Yeah.
And that's the only time that the Nazi super soldier zombies really come into it, because they start coming into the room.
They start waking up.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And you do see them, and like they have kind of the black and white Romero look to them.
Yes.
Where they're very pale, dark circles around their eyes. They're not...
Oh, they're German.
Of course, yeah. We just say Nazis.
Yeah.
I feel like you don't want to offend the Germans in general.
Maybe you don't.
I don't. That's true.
I hold a grudge.
That's fair. I appreciate that. Boys is like, all right, man, let's go. And Wyatt Russell at this point is starting to turn more. Like he's starting, you know, his eyes are starting to get darker. And so he
bloodshot.
Yeah. He throws down the gate and he's like, you go. And he's like, I'll take care of this. He's like, whatever this is, our side doesn't need it either.
Yeah.
So
it's a noble move.
It is, yeah. And it's like, so the entire time that character has kind of walked a very thin line.
Yeah, it's questionable.
Do you like him? Do you not like him? He's been questioned.
I took it as he's going to do whatever it takes to get the job done.
Right.
I never saw him as a bad guy, but I get that they are trying to make him questionable. And you think there's maybe going to be a turn somewhere. And
there is.
He'll become,
but he takes care of it beforehand.
Yeah, in the end, he's a good guy. He's,
right.
Yeah.
So he... You know, good speech, very Snake Plissken-esque.
You're just going to keep trying to make it happen.
I didn't. He did it. Like, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. And they blow up the communications tower. They blow up this thing and everything tumbles to the ground.
Pretty good tracking shot here.
I was
really impressed with this.
Where he's running out?
He runs through the lab, through the fortress and all this, and it never cuts. It's a tracking shot, and he's just running. Explosions are happening.
I wonder if that's like... So that's obviously on a green screen. Like, I have to believe
it. I mean, I think they built some sort of a set, but obviously the explosions are...
Right, right.
But I mean, yeah, he's running through... these rooms and everything, and I was like, that's a really cool shot. And of course he jumps as soon as
he
gets out of reach of the explosion.
Right, that's a given.
But
D-Day happens, it goes. I do think it's weird.
So that happened.
It does happen.
We're okay.
Successfully.
Okay.
It's also like
we won.
It's not
successful. This like, is a
that's,
documentary. You
that's
know that,
also
right?
Did we?
That's the thing. Is like they gloss over the fact that is a massive loss of life.
Well, I mean, I think they're kind of assuming you know that part of the story.
No, I know. But then everybody's happy.
But
they're happy because we win.
That's like, true.
I mean,
yeah.
It was a major sacrifice, but it was worth it because we won.
And this is not a historical.
No.
I mean,
I totally
they're not going to be really getting into those
that
numbers.
We know
they win. They fought Nazi zombies. Like that's
right,
this movie.
Right. Yeah. But and yeah, so they don't show D-Day at all, which is fine.
That would be pretty expensive.
It would be pretty expensive. Yeah. That's true, yeah.
$38 million.
Yeah.
Doubled the budget.
They just show you the footage from Saving Private
right.
Ryan.
Can we just reuse that?
They should have called this Wes Craven's Private Ryan.
So the boys is... so we should say that the Bronx has a redeeming time. So Paul is the kid. I got to tell you. As the father of a 2-year-old, this was terrifying. Where the kid's just running like in the middle of like
he has
no idea what's going on, just running in the middle of everything.
Yeah,
and Bronx,
and the stormtroopers don't shoot him.
Of course,
this is like
it's very Star Wars.
And even to
the
like
worst,
not hit Bronx until the very end, one bullet where I'm
right,
like
in the shoulder blade.
I'm like, he's in the open. They're shooting like,
right, and but, I do like how and then the sister comes around the corner and shoots them all in the face, and
because she's apparently the
expert,
a sharpshooter.
She's been in a war-torn country.
That's
for
also
four
true.
Years.
She probably knows what she's doing.
Well, yeah, but see, that's where it all fell apart to me. Is because I mean, I know there's a million places where a movie like this is going to fall apart because it doesn't have to make sense with itself.
Sure,
but it's the same problem that I have with movies where you have like mafiosi chasing somebody through London in a car, and there's a car chase scene that goes on for 20 minutes, and I'm going, did they fire all the cops?
Yeah,
in London?
Where are the police officers? Yeah,
and it was when they were in the house. I mean, this is a little tiny French village where there's no glass in any of the windows and you can hear stuff going on. And at the very beginning, remember the girl almost gets turned in by the snotty neighbor who blows
like,
the whistle and all the Nazis come running. But
where
they're in
they
an
all?
Upstairs bedroom firing off automatic weapons fire. 10 minutes later, no Nazis show up.
I wonder, like, I wonder if, just to play devil's advocate, is if like the people in the village are just like used to it.
But would the cops be? I mean, and the cops at that point would be the
general,
Nazi soldiers, you know?
The Nazis
would be like, we're not firing weapons. That's not us.
And the generals in that building, so they would be suspecting. I think it was a little crazy. Again, the movie gets a pass because of what it is, but when she becomes this badass John Wick-esque warrior,
just
it's like
lighten up Nazis left and right. Yeah.
But she's hot. I mean,
she was hot. That is true. But she also sets that zombie on fire.
Oh,
like, that was great.
She takes the flamethrower, kills
she
that
puts
one zombie,
it down.
And drops it. I go, yeah, you are in it. That is
that's slasher movie 101.
That was so
where they drop the knife or the whatever it is.
I hate it. She takes out one and drops it. It's like you're in enemy territory. You bring that.
Guess what?
With you.
There's probably more.
Yeah.
Of those zombie things.
You might need
that flamethrower.
And even if there's not.
True.
I hated that when she
dropped
it.
I got to tell you, if I'm a Nazi and I see somebody coming up with me a flamethrower, I'm going to go the other way.
Yeah. No, thank you.
So everybody's rescued. They think that Boyce and Wyatt are not going to make it.
And of course,
he comes walking out of
the end of the movie. Instead of going home with their injuries, they have to continue fighting. I'm like, they really set this up for a sequel?
I mean, I believe that they would probably make them keep fighting.
I kind of think that.
With
the ones with the injuries, I'm like, they should not continue fighting.
They're like, we got to
stick around because.
No, they're like, where are we going? We got to sign the C platoon. And they're just like, damn it.
I mean, this is totally a sequel
setup. I think that they probably want a sequel.
And straight to
Netflix.
Yeah, with the box office, they're not going to get it. But no. I'm like, really?
But
I do set this up.
I do like where he's talking to the commander and he's just like, we got some rumors that there's some stuff down there. Yeah. And he was like, is there? He's like, nope.
Yeah.
No. Because
he doesn't want them to find it and weaponize it. I thought
the end credits, like, if there was a post credits, it's Wyatt Russell climbing out of the.
All I looked it up. I stayed for a while and I'm like, oh.
Do you have the after credits app?
I just, the site. There's a site that does.
Go get the app because they'll tell you like if there's anything in the middle or at the end.
Well, especially when they set it up for a sequel, I'm like, well, there has to be an after credits in this movie. And there wasn't.
No.
So, okay.
Yeah. And like we talked about it last week that this was supposed to be maybe rumored to be a Cloverfield.
So this is another one of my guesses is that I think maybe in pre-production it was.
Because
this movie goes so long without really getting into it, the movie that we thought it was going to be. And I thought maybe they were going to do a bait and switch with the like, oh, this is World War II. And then all of a sudden there's Nazi zombies. So I thought maybe they intended it to be a Cloverfield type of thing. And then they were
this is supposed to be in the Cloverfield universe was the rumor.
Well, that was the rumor though. And so what I'm thinking is with JJ producing and with that rumor, maybe they did. And that's why it doesn't take off because they were trying to be misleading like those Cloverfield sequels can be. And then maybe they thought, no, that's not going to work for whatever reason.
Just that one.
Let's just go. Yeah. Well, yeah. So they're like, well, let's just go crazy with it, but we don't have the budget to fill in more action. So I don't know, just a guess. I'm thinking maybe they changed it halfway and like, oh no, this isn't going to be.
So that's the end of this movie.
I just felt like the there would have been a bigger payoff at the end. Like I thought
if it was a Cloverfield movie or in general,
I just said there was going to be something that paid it off better. Like that it was really this other thing the whole time. I don't even know what that thing would have been.
Sure.
But that, you know, I don't know. I felt like it, but by the time it was all said and done, it was kind of a small story.
It was.
You know what I mean?
Very.
Like, I thought it
takes place in a day.
Yeah, and I thought it was going to, like I said, tie into something bigger or something else or, or maybe, like, even if, like, they hadn't told us that this was to make D-Day happen and that maybe that had been the reveal at the end.
Oh, they need
that, like,
oh,
this is
sure.
why this guy was so obsessed with this radio tower and or radio jamming device that. You know,
satellite.
that maybe Boyce the whole time is like, why are we so hyper focused on this? Like, it's not the end of the world.
Does the sergeant tell them in the very beginning that this is?
Yeah, they tell you know from the get go that this D-Day
is the reason
hinges on taking this out.
Okay. But yeah, like maybe there was in fact a deeper mission,
right?
That Kurt Russell's kid was aware of that he
right,
was the only one
something.
Who knew why they were
I
there.
Was in the same boat where at the end I was just kind of like, oh, because I mean it was great that they had that action. I think all that craziness saved it, but at the end of the day I was looking for not just historical, okay, now D-Day and now everything just happened.
Right.
I'm like, let's set up, if they're gonna do a sequel, it's gonna
right.
be a crazy zombie sequel, like the whole world, or you go to D-Day and it's just dead bodies and zombies walking or something revealed there. And so I think between the slow start and with the ending, the way it just kind of ended, I don't know, I expected more. Like, in my mind, if this was I expected a crazy, like, B-movie insanity, right?
That's
right.
When
crazy enough. It's too well done.
Right. That's the, yes. When you get that opening credit card.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, we're just gonna B movie this joint up.
And then you get
right.
that crazy scene where the plane's on fire and he's flipping around with the crazy green screen. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, that's what we're in for. But then it goes to like small contained one room play, you know, in the house. And so that's why I think the mistake they made is maybe they needed a bigger budget or maybe smaller, whatever it is. But like, I wanted schlocky, crazy kills, which you get in the end.
You
but, like,
do.
I wanted the whole time heads exploding and, you know, just insanity.
Right.
And so I feel like they just landed in the middle and it was like either like a really solid World War II movie or make a very crazy Nazi
zombie movie.
Zombie movie. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, but I think, I honestly think this is going to, it's not a success at the box office. It's done okay. Not great. But I think this is going to find its life on Blu-ray or on home video.
I can see that.
I think this is going to be one of those ones that kind of people are just like, have you seen this movie? Like, have you seen this wacky zombie Nazi movie?
I think you're going to find a lot of people maybe get sucked into it thinking it's a war movie.
Yeah.
At, you know, like people that wouldn't normally watch a movie like this.
That's true.
That they're gonna think they're watching a war movie,
right.
And then it's just gonna go off the
and,
for
off
the and they'll have the experience that we wish
wanted.
We,
yeah.
yeah,
that will work out great to see a World War II whatever war thing on Netflix and a little video clip and just play it and then
Well, and that may explain the title too, because wasn't it called Operation Overlord?
Was the name of the D-Day invasion.
So you could trip over this and go, "Oh, Operation Overlord, this is a D-Day movie."
Right.
Yeah. Kinda.
Then, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, so there it is. I thought this was a lot of fun. It needed a little bit of trimming, take a little bit out, cut it down to like 145, maybe 140. Didn't need to be 2 hours, but
I was in.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, once he broke into that place and the stuff went off the rails, I'm like, yes, this is fun. I'm like, it started. I just was
off to the races.
Yeah.
Also, the advantage is you can kill as many Nazis as you want and nobody's going to be offended. Well, the right people aren't going to be offended.
There you go.
Or
but the right
the
people
left,
will be.
Yeah, right. That's the advantage
the
of Nazis.
The alt-right people will be offended.
That's right. As Nazis are always the bad guys.
For all intents and purposes, you should be able to do that and no one gets
correct.
Offended. Let's just leave it at that.
That is correct.
Yeah.
In theory.
Yeah, I like this movie a lot. It was a lot of fun. It was good stuff.
A single white polo shirt or tiki torch in the bunch.
Or khakis.
Yeah,
shorts.
I also like that they didn't turn this into a preachy type of movie, right? Like, it was just more fun and crazy than they weren't really trying to say a lot. Now you can infer what you will from it, and it's World War II, so take what you will, but they weren't ever really trying to get to that level, which I appreciated. Just check out, see some crazy,
do your thing.
And
it was good. It was good stuff. And awesome. Good, I mean, good job on this guy for his first movie out of the first big budget movie out of the box.
Yeah. So I guess that's it for this one.
Yeah.
Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them. You're prepared now.
That's right, I am. At John Grayson Radio on the Twitters, and maybe more soon, so keep an eye on that.
Ooh, a little teaser.
Mm-hmm. This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter, at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter, at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter, at Roger Kubert, or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, you can do so at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Check us out on Twitter, at Real Spoilers. And, of course, our Patreon account, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. I guess next week is
Widows?
Crimes of Grindelwald. Is that next week?
Oh, it's coming out soon. I know that.
I wanted to see the Steve McQueen, Gillian Anderson movie.
Yeah. Well, you can still.
Yeah, we're not going to stop
okay,
you.
Okay, all right.
We'll allow it. So, I don't know. We'll figure it out. So, that's it for this one. And until next time, Jimenez breaks his neck during the jump.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.